Well, this morning, we're going to go back into our teaching again. I've been talking about the name above every name. And I believe most everybody knows we're talking about the name of Jesus. It's the name above every name. I just want to read a couple scriptures we've been using. We had used some. One of them from Hebrews, the first chapter. There's a few scriptures, the first four verses of that chapter I want to read. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the expressed image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And then from Philippians, the second chapter, I'm going to read 9 through 11. That's Philippians, the second chapter. And starting verse 9 says, therefore God also has highly exalted Him, speaking of Jesus, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And we've been teaching along, looking at this here as the name of Jesus, and been talking about this name, what's been invested in this name to the church, what it is to us. We found out here in Philippians it said that God highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. And that name, that exalted name, that name is exalted over heaven, over earth, and over under the earth. In other words, all spiritual beings, whether in heaven, Jesus Christ is totally 100% bowed to. Totally 100%. Now, in hell, every demon must bow to the name of Jesus. We are told in Scripture, in the Bible, that Jesus told His disciples when He left. We read this before in Mark, the 16th chapter. Jesus, when He left, He told them, He said, you go preach the gospel, and you go preach this gospel, and these signs will follow them that believe. In other words, those who believe the gospel, they preach. So that, you know, I believe the gospel that they preach. So I'm in that category. And the first thing He said, that in My name they would cast out demons. He didn't say they would cast out some demons. Some you can't cast out. Some you can't deal with. No, He said you can cast out demons. In other words, the name of Jesus, Jesus Christ, defeated all the principalities, powers, might, and dominion. His name is above every name. Everything bows to Him. Now, in the earth, we need to understand this. There are spirit beings in the earth that are a little bit different than others because of what we were created. Man was created in the likeness and image of God. And for a period of time, man can make a choice who he wants to bow to. Now, there will be a day come when every human being will either, if they haven't bowed to the name of Jesus, they will forcefully bow to that name. I would say it would be just good to do it voluntarily than wait till Jesus Christ comes. When Jesus Christ returns onto this earth, when He comes back at the end of the tribulation period, every person who has not bowed to Him is going to be destroyed off the face of the earth. That's what the Scriptures tell us. If they haven't bowed to Him, there's going to be a departure. And it ain't going to be pretty. And we need to know that. Everybody will come to... Man has a time period to do this in. We are running to the end of this time period. We are getting close on the end of this thing. And if Jesus Christ is coming back, there will be, the church will be taken, and the world is going to end up going into a time period that's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be nice. What they follow and what they lack, there's going to be many astounded people when the church leaves. They're going to be very astounded because there's many know enough that they should have believed in Jesus and they didn't. There's going to be many wicked people who are going to think, boy, we finally got rid of those people. And wait till they find out what happens. Wait till they find out what takes place. We know from the book of Revelation, there are demons that are in hell that have not been allowed to be released on the earth, but will be released during the tribulation period. And when they are released, they're going to torment the devil's followers, their own followers. See, you follow the devil, and he'll torment you. Jesus said the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy. I come that you might have life. Jesus Christ ain't the killer. Jesus Christ ain't killing people. The devil is busy killing his own people. He always does that. The devil always destroys his own. He always does. You know, we have in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, they deal with an individual there who is a Christian who won't live right. He's out, has his father's wife, he took his father's wife as he's out living with her, and in that situation, and is living out there. In other words, you know, he's, now understand, this is a believer. Now, if God kills people, I don't quite understand the writing, because Paul said by the Holy Spirit told the church to turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. See, if God kill him, no. He turns him over to Satan. And what does the Satan do to his people that will follow him? He kills them. That's what he does. He said, turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. See, God's not in the killing people business. The devil kills his own. He always does. You follow the devil, he'll destroy you. You know, he don't love nobody. Satan, Lucifer, loves nobody. In the kingdom of Satan, there is no love whatsoever. There is no love in that kingdom. Those demons, they might work together to do things, but it ain't based on love. They hate each other. The kingdom of Satan is nothing but filled with hatred. That's what it's filled with. It's filled with hatred. See, people who are hateful and rebellion and all that kind of stuff, you know they're being dominated by the devil. That's demonic powers. They're yielding to stuff in that kingdom. You can be a Christian and yield to wrong things. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to yield to that stuff. Those demons will try to get you to yield. It's just like the man in Corinth. Those demons got him to yield over to things that weren't good. And what was happening to him? The devil's going to eat his lunch. And see, we don't want to do that. We want to follow Jesus. And the whole thing that God wants us to know, we're looking at the name of Jesus because the name of Jesus, and I believe this totally, that the church really, is generally speaking, really knows almost nothing about it per se. You know, it's something that we tack on to things, to prayers and stuff, but not really understanding its value. We talked about the fact that Jesus told the disciples in the book of John, right before he was leaving, the night that he was betrayed, he talked to his disciples and he told them, he said, up to this time, you guys didn't ask me anything. But he said, now if you do ask in my name, he said, if you ask anything of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. And see, you need to understand this. Most people come to God in prayer, and they're trying to just stand on faith because I have my faith about asking. It's not about my faith answering, asking God for something. It's about the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ didn't tell the disciples to try to have faith to get their prayer answered, did he? He never said that. And this is what people keep trying to do. He said, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he'll give it to you. Well, then where's the faith supposed to be? It's supposed to be in the name. You're supposed to believe that if I asked God anything in his name, he'd give it to me. That's what we're supposed to believe. See, most people are all hyped up on their confessions and all that. Hey, confession's wonderful and confession's good. But when we pray and ask God, Jesus told the disciples, he didn't tell them they had to go through any kind of rigmarole or they had to go through any kind of special thing to get prayer answered. He just made a statement. He made the statement. He said, concerning prayer. He said, when you're praying, anything that you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. So what the authorization is through Jesus Christ. Now we need to understand this because we find out from Scripture, we found out that all authority of heaven has been given unto Jesus. And we talked about the fact the Father God is not determining what you get in prayer. Jesus Christ does. Father doesn't decide whether you can have it or you can't have it. He gave all the authority to Jesus. That's why in Jesus' name, if Jesus said you can have it, you can have it. If Jesus said, the Bible tells us, New Testament, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Does it say all the promises of God are yes and amen if... Or you know, but that's most of Christianity right there. Everybody keeps adding and adding. We destroy our own faith instead of following Scripture. We destroy our own faith by tacking on our religious ideas and our religious principles. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. So if He has all the authority of heaven and He has all the authority of earth, and I'm His child, the Bible tells you and I, as Christians, we're joint heirs with Him. Now what does that mean? That means what Jesus Christ has inherited, you have. Do you know the church has all authority in heaven and earth? Do you know that? Well, they must have, or Jesus lied to Peter. Jesus said, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Well, who won the keys of the kingdom? Jesus did. He said, Jesus said, look, I'm going to hold them up here in heaven. Every once in a while, I'll send the key down, let you unlock some. But you make sure they get back here right away. That's the church world today. We treat Jesus. All authority's been given. Jesus said to Peter, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Why? Because of His name. All authority's His. In other words, He's handed us authority, and this is what the church world doesn't get. If things don't get done, it's not God, it's us. It's us, on our side. Now that's not a knock to us. If a person didn't understand that or didn't know that, and that's what most of the church world today, they're not taught any of that. In fact, many will criticize you for saying it. You know, I've gotten enough criticized for talking this kind of stuff over the years. People, who do you think you are is God. I don't have to think I'm God. I don't have to think none of that stuff. God's the one that made the statement. If He ain't going to do what His Word said, what would anybody ever serve Him for? Why would anyone want to follow a God who's a liar and says things and ain't going to do it? You know? Or He told us, you know, like people say, well, that was for the Jews. My God, we don't even live up to 10% of what's written in the New Testament. Well, you know, it's their God. Is getting over there. But so God gave Jesus Christ, under the word, this name, the authority. So the authority of prayer, of answered prayer, you need to get this. Your authority when you come to God to pray is the name of Jesus. The reason your prayers are answered is because of that name. Now understand, sinners can't use that name. This is one thing, you know, and I've said this many times, I'm going to keep saying it till Christians finally get a hold of it. Quit talking to sinners and talk to them about prayer like they can go get stuff and they can go. They can't. They can get salvation, get in the kingdom, and then get whatever they need. But as long as they don't enter the kingdom, the name only belongs to the children of the kingdom. If a person is not in the kingdom, they can come by the authority of the name of Jesus and enter the kingdom. They can be born into it. But until they're born into it, you know, we have, if you go over and look at Acts, I think it's the 18th or 19th chapter of the book of Acts, there was the sons of Sceva there. They decided these were Jewish exorcists. Well, they heard Paul and saw Paul casting out demons and different things, and they went to use the name of Jesus to cast a demon out of a guy who was possessed. And what happened was, the possessed guy said, Paul I know, Jesus I know, who are you? In other words, demons do not recognize unsaved people as having any power over them. They will not answer or respond to them. You need to understand. So you don't tell a sinner just to go pray. I tell a sinner, you want to get your prayers answered, you better get saved. Or there's somebody going to be somebody messing in your prayer life, and then he's going to dominate it, and it'll be the devil. And we need to know that. You and I have the authority of the name of Jesus. Now think about that. You have the authority of the name of Jesus to approach God. And Jesus said, anything you ask the Father in my name, He'll give it to you. He'll do that. Now you'll get the knuckleheads out here saying, well, you can't, what are you going to ask for? I got a guy one time who said, well, you asked for 10 wives and this. I said, why don't you wake up, you space cadet? We're talking about born again people, not heathens like you. Would think so stupid. You know, we ain't supposed to be sitting around thinking of evil stuff. I mean, give me a break. Hallelujah. It says all the promises of God are yes and amen. I didn't see it in where it needed 10 wives. Got my hands full with one. Let's tell you what, that's enough. That's enough. Hallelujah. Praise God. But, you know, I mean, I couldn't figure out once somebody, you know, these groups that want 10 wives. Well, go ahead. If you can handle it, have a big time. Leave me alone. No. I'm not trying to get women. I mean, that just wouldn't even be reasonable. I mean, that wouldn't even be sensible. You know, but you know, see, people get over and get into weird and they'll start talking the weird stuff. You know, it was generally thought in the New Testament, if you read the anywhere from the book of Acts and read into the Gospels and the things in Acts, the conduct of the church, and in through the Gospels, the things that are preached through the Gospels that Jesus said, but also going over the epistles, the things that were written there, the correction and things to the church and that stuff. They didn't think about, you know, I'm just supposed to go out here and be able to live like hell and do it and I'll just ask for crazy stuff. None of that was even in the thought of it. And so you and I shouldn't even be thinking along those lines. Those shouldn't be thoughts that you and I have of thinking in such a crazy way. That shows a sign of really, you know, spiritual immaturity. That shows a sign. When people do that, that shows a sign of really stupidity. And when I got born again changed my life. Jesus Christ changed my life. I didn't have the same desires I have. People that have the same desires never found Jesus. They don't even know Him. If they don't have the desires, Jesus Christ changed the desires of my heart. I got a new one. If I still have the same old desires to do the same old lustful things, then there's a good chance me and Jesus never ran into each other. Amen. Jesus Christ changes lives. Glory to God. And I thank God, you know, Ed Gibson didn't change his life. I didn't make a new leaf. Hallelujah. Praise God. God turned over a new leaf in Ed's life. That's what happened. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Last week we talked about the fact, and we wanted to look at the use of the name, and yet last week we talked about in the book of Acts where Peter and John went into the temple in Acts, the third chapter, and there was a man at the gate, beautiful. And that man at the gate, beautiful, they walked into the place. This guy was seated at the gate, beautiful. He had been there for years, all his life. They were sitting at this gate, and they were putting there, and he begged alms as people came in. He wasn't able to work or do anything. So he's a complete cripple. You know, they didn't have electric wheelchairs to run around in and do stuff. They didn't have all that kinds of things. So, you know, you're pretty well immobile, you know, for whatever you could drag yourself around or do something. So this man is at the gate, and while he's at the gate, he's begging alms. And Peter and John come into the temple, and they walk into the temple area, and he's sitting there. And he asked them for some alms, and Peter said, "Look on us. Look on us." Now, that has always struck me as "look on us" as one of the revelations when I first saw that. Because when I came into Christianity, all I kept hearing Christians saying, they were this humility. "Oh, don't look at me, look at Jesus." I'm going to tell you what, if they can't find Jesus in you, they will never find Jesus. We're the ones that preach the gospel. We're the ones that manifest the gifts of the Holy Ghost. They come through us. They got to look at us. If you don't want them looking at you, then I don't get it. I don't know what that's about. Because Peter said, "Look at us." And he said to him, "Look, I don't have any money. In other words, I don't have any silver. I don't have any gold on me. But I got something on me. I have something." And we need to understand that. When Jesus left the earth, we read last week, we read down through in Mark and looked at it. They call the Great Commission. Jesus commissioned the disciples to go. And he told them the signs that would follow in his name of what would take place. Healing was one of those things to take place in his name. That sign follows every believer. There is no believer that doesn't have a healing ministry per se. Now, some people we find in the book of Acts, some people had special healing anointings. Some people, manifestations of gifts of healings. Now, there's a difference between those. You could have manifestations of gifts of healing take place, but that don't mean you have a special anointing for healing. Some people have special anointing. We found it in the scriptures. Certain special, you know, special miracles happened through Paul. There were certain things that manifested through him that was different than generally people. And God did that. He didn't do it to make Paul anything. It's to bless and help people. Understand this. Anything that God wants to do for you is to not make you a big deal. That's not what it's for. This is why many people God can't use, because they'll never humble themselves. If God uses them, my God, we won't be able to stand them. They'll think they're the next best thing to slice bread, and they'll just think it's all about them. See, it's not about it. The manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit happen and operate through us to bless other people. That's what it's for. It's always to benefit others. You know, thank God he works through it and does those things. In my entire Christian walk, I've never been healed by a gift or manifestation of the Holy Ghost. God's never allowed me. I've had it on me, the gift on me, and walking. I've seen people healed. I saw a guy who had his back was welded. He had, they called it welding. They weld the whatever they do to put the vertebrae together. I don't think they get an arc welder out or anything like that. You know, the doc's in there. Okay, get that shit. I don't know what they do to it. They weld them. They somehow seal them together. And he had a rod in his back. Now, he was healed, And that, and all those vertebrae ended up separated and normal, and that metal rod disappeared. Now, I didn't do that. But see, the manifestation of the Spirit does things like that. And what was it? For His benefit. It was for His benefit, God did that. He didn't do it so, boy, did God think Ed Gibson was something. Because, you know, if God didn't do it through me, it don't happen. I can't make that stuff happen. Sure be nice to, you know. But Kenneth Hagin said this, and I'm going to go with him on it. He was probably right. He said, if I would have had control of the gifts, I'd have probably healed all the wrong people and done the wrong stuff. I'd have done wrong things with it. And really, let that into God's hands. Let that, those things. But see, God manifests Himself in those ways. But every believer has the authority in the name of Jesus to lay hands on the sick for them to recover. Now, it doesn't say that, you know, it's going to be instantaneous healing. It says to recover. We have the authority in the name of Jesus to tell people they can recover. Man, there's a lot of people ain't recovering out here. Today, my God, there's just loads of people and they spend most of their life, you know, walking around with ailments, taking medications, just trying to keep symptoms under control. Well, we have the authority. Jesus said we can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And we sort of find out a little bit why that doesn't work. And I'm going to go a little bit here. I want you to look at something. We found out that they said they didn't have something, but what they did have, they had the name of Jesus. And that's what they said. He said, look, what I got, I'm going to give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He grabbed the guy's hand, pulled him up off the ground. Says the guy's, you know, ankles and feet were strengthened and he got up and walked. Praise God. And then he told the people, we read it last week, he told the people, he said, don't look at this thing as if I'd done anything great. Don't look on us like we did something marvelous here. It isn't us. He said, this man, through faith in the name. Faith in the name of Jesus is what did this. It's faith in the name of Jesus. See, somebody's got to have some faith in the name of Jesus. In other words, think about what their faith in the name of Jesus was. Their faith in the name of Jesus was not because of any letter written in the New Testament. They didn't have the New Testament. You know what these disciples did? The disciples just went out because Jesus said, if you go out and do this stuff in my name, I'll do that. You cast out a devil in my name, he has to go. You lay hands on the sick and they'll get better. That's what he said. He didn't tell them to have any kind of special faith or do some kind of thing. This is what the book of Acts. The book of Acts is a picture of the church going out and literally just following the commission that Jesus said using Jesus' name. Now I want to show you something about this because we can find out a little bit, you know, about what they preach. You will find out that generally today that most what we have, like say, most evangelists never preach the full gospel. They don't preach it. You'll very seldom ever hear the full gospel preached. Very seldom ever hear it preached. Because I can say this truthfully. I have never heard an evangelist preach the name of Jesus. They preach about accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. They do it, but they don't preach the name. This was one of the differences in the New Testament church is they preached the power of the name of Jesus to people. People had faith. See, we read and looked. We found out that people got saved in the book of Acts. Peter's first message, people got saved believing on the name of Jesus, didn't they? Then we found out the Gate Beautiful came along and a guy got healed. What? By the name of Jesus. See, the same name that saved was the same name that did healed. You need to understand, this is the things that they preach. They didn't go out and preach. They preach the name of Jesus is what will save you, the name of Jesus or what's healed you. See, people had faith that if that name was called over them, something was going to happen. We don't have that in the church world today. It's not preached. And we say, oh, we're New Testament churches. No, we have laying hands on, long prayers, long stuff. And really, we don't see the things that we want we could see because there's little faith in the name. We're trying to make it happen. If I really strain at it and I just confess it enough and I just, works. Works and works and works and works instead of faith in the name. These disciples, they just started going out. People began to follow it. Now, if we go over to Acts, the 8th chapter, I want you to look at it. This guy's not an apostle. This guy's named Philip. Philip the evangelist. This is who he is. We're going to see, because understand this, if anybody wants to be an evangelist, you need to copy because this guy is an example of an evangelist in scriptures. He's the example of the evangelistic ministry. If guys don't do this stuff and call themselves an evangelist, They may be called to it, but they ain't walking in it. There's nobody that ever had the evangelistic anointing don't have signs and wonders. Now, they may not walk in it or do it. Mostly people don't, it's because this. It's because the message is preached. Now, I ain't going to have no more faith in the message I preach. You need to understand. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. I might be the preacher, but I got to preach messages that keep me on fire. Or I ain't going to believe. That's what's wrong. Most people walk around and talk wrong things all week, speak wrong things all week, and they wonder why they ain't got no fire. Well, you can't. You got to learn to preach to yourself. If you want to arise into something, you got to be to say the right things about it to get yourself on fire. Hallelujah. Well, let's look at Philip the evangelist here. It's concerning thing. It says, I want to go to verse 4. We're going to start in verse 4. We don't want to read the whole thing. It says, therefore, those who were scattered, in other words, the Jews were scattered, persecution started in Jerusalem. You know, sometimes persecution's good. Because Christians most of the time won't do a thing until they're made to do it. I'm just sorry. That's the way it is. Get over it. The many things they won't do till they're made to do it. And here's what happened. Persecution started. So it says, therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. So what's it? These guys went out and said, well, let's go preach the word. Well, you want to, you know, you're leaving town, you might as well go preach somewhere. Well, he says here, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached what? Christ to them. It says he preached Christ. Now, we're going to find out, but listen, he goes on to say, it says, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed. And many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Now, I want you to see something because we can jump down. It says he preached Christ. What does it mean that he preached Christ? Well, if we look down further, it tells us what he preached. And what did he preach? Verse 12. But when they believed Philip, as he preached what? The things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. The king. Both men and women were baptized. What did he preach? See, those miracles, and we go back up, what was his message? Why did they get the healing and all that stuff? See, most evangelists only preach salvation and they wonder why. Not much healing or anything ever takes place. It can't. People have no faith for it. Most Christians think there's required a different faith for healing than it is for salvation. It takes something different. It requires something else. It don't require anything else. The same name of Jesus in the book of Acts that got people born again is the same name that got people healed. They didn't have two different messages. The message, you know, of salvation and the message healing. See, when I came into the kingdom, I was fortunate enough to listen to Kenneth Hagin Ministries, and I was listening to his teaching, and I never thought on the plane, I was taught this. Salvation and healing go together. Salvation, baptism, the Holy Spirit all go together. We found out that in the book of Mark says concerning speaking in tongues, Jesus said in my name they'll speak in new tongues. The baptism of the Holy Spirit's in the name of Jesus. You get baptized in the Holy Ghost. In other words, you receive it the same name. It's faith in the same name is why you get it. See, everybody has all this stuff. Well, I'm trying to get this now. I want to try to get it. When I came into the kingdom, I found out I could be saved, healed, baptized in the Holy Ghost. I didn't have to go believe something else. Because I was preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was about the name of Jesus. Under the name of Jesus, I had the authority by calling on that name to be saved. The Bible says whoever calls on that name would be saved. He didn't say whoever believes this or believes that. Whoever calls on that name. There's no other name in heaven where my man must be saved. No other name. I run into people all the time say, I'm a Christian. You ask them why they're a Christian and they will give you an answer that is unscriptural. I believe in God. They say all kinds of stuff. I don't care. You can believe in God all you want. The devil believes in God. He ain't saved. You're saved through faith in the name of Jesus. Jesus is the reason of salvation. I mean, I've gotten a hard time from people already going to them and talking about, they say they're Christians, and I talk to them and they say about, you know, they're Christians, and I always find out this. You can always find out what people like the name of Jesus, because if they talk about being Christian, well, I'm going to talk about Christ. And you can always tell people. There's two different types, either the sinner or the saint who's living like hell. They hate to hear that name. They don't like to be around it. They don't like it. Why? Because you talk that name around a Christian who ain't living right, and they feel uneasy. Why? Their own heart starts to condemn them. Their own heart starts saying, "You ain't, I ain't living right. I ain't doing right." It condemns them. And then the first thing they do is call, "Well, you're a bunch of hypocrites trying to put me under." Yeah, a bunch of, they're the hypocrite. You know, because they don't like Jesus. You know, I want the day come when they tell Jesus he's the hypocrite. I want to meet that one. I gotta get there to see that one. I'll guarantee you that will never be said. But see, we have those things going on. Well, we need to understand. So people do that. You take the sinner. I find like people say, "Well, I believe in God." I start talking about Jesus. Well, I don't believe Jesus. I believe in God, and that's all right. Well, I'm sorry. That isn't what the Bible teaches. I don't know why somebody would ever say that they're a Christian. They don't like Jesus. I mean, because Christianity is Christ, the Messiah, Jesus. It doesn't make any sense. So they're not a Christian. You don't like Jesus. You don't like his stuff, you wouldn't be a Christian. But we need to understand, it's because of that name. And see, that name, Jesus told his disciples, if they don't like me, they're not going to like you. When they don't like me, they're not going to like you. So don't get offended. It isn't about you, it's about Jesus. And I've learned over time, I don't get offended. People, they can do and act crazy as they want and do what they want. They're allowed to, for at least a period of time. But there will be a day they will come under submission. They'll be put under submission. They'll have to come to that place. One day Jesus is going to come and he's going to take over all rule and authority. You know, do you ever think about, we live on the earth today. We live in a time where really the love of God is being revealed to us and man, really. The love of God is compelling men to come. That's what it is, and thank God. I'm about to tell you, now's the time. The Bible talks about, even after, you know, that the evil people are moved off the face of the earth, when Jesus Christ comes, he's going to rule with a rod of iron. It says if people don't come up to Jerusalem who live on the earth and don't come up to Jerusalem, rain won't fall on their land. He's going to love people, but he ain't going to put up with their nonsense at all. He ain't going to put up with man's nonsense at all. Now just think about that. Those are the people who said they liked him that were left here on the earth. Now us Christians, we'll be in the glorified bodies. We'll be just like Jesus. We come back to reign and rule with him. But the people here that are on the earth, they ain't gonna. They're not gonna be, you know, dealing with a Jesus like we do on this side. I'm gonna tell you. I always tell people, follow Jesus while it's easy. This is the easy time. This is the easy day to walk in it. I don't want to run into the Jesus with the rod of iron. I don't know about you. That's not the one I want. And see, most ministries won't even preach about the Jesus with the rod of iron. They don't believe in judgment. They don't believe in nothing. And that's why we have today, everybody will be saved. God, you know, loves everybody, and it's all going to work out all right. Well, it's not. But you and I were given this marvelous name of Jesus, and we find out here that they preached the name of Jesus. In other words, Philip preached about, in this name, you could be saved, you could be healed. They're having miracles. These things are going on because he's preaching. You call on that name, you can have this. You call on that name, this is what this name does. They have faith in the name. The name's hardly even used in the church world. You can turn your TV on and listen to a minister talk for a full hour on television and never mention the name of Jesus one time. Never even talk about it. You can go to preacher after preacher and hardly ever hear about Jesus. But they'll tell you all the principles of the word. I'm going to tell you what, there's one principle I want to run into, and that's the principle of Christianity. That's Jesus Christ. I want to know him. Faith in him will get me anything I want. Faith in him will give me victory on this earth. When trouble comes knocking on the door doesn't answer to principle. The devil don't answer to principles. He don't answer to what you know about how faith works. The only thing the devil knows is the name of Jesus. And if you have faith in that name, he surely knows it. He knows it. You know, I'm just a young Christian. We don't have to turn around. See, Christians get over in this thing about they want to grow into some great spiritual epitome, and for the point of it is then God can use them. No, God will use you to help build you into a place of epitome to where you can know God. We want to grow and develop so we get to know our Master, know what He wants to do, be able to follow Him and walk with Him. That's why we do all that. You don't have to do that to get the name of Jesus that's already given to you. I was just a young Christian, got born again, and I've told you guys this story, but the Lord told me to talk about it this morning again. I was just a young Christian, but I had been involved in sorcery before I got saved, and I was involved in the sorcery and all that crazy stuff, and I was involved in it, and demons would manifest in our house and all kinds of stuff, and I got around to where I knew how to operate in things of that, make things happen. You start to learn things about it, a realm of the spirit. So I was learning about those things. Well, then during that thing, one of the reasons I got looking into those areas and things to begin, because I was in a search. I always believed you needed power to live, and I always believed that there was a spirit realm that was more powerful than this realm. And most of the church world don't even believe that today. Most spirit-filled people don't even believe that today. They're always working toward this realm and this realm, and their faith is always about this realm, about here. Now, faith is a spiritual principle. It works over in that realm. Whatever I hook up over in that realm, I can bring to this realm. Devils ain't moved by this realm. They don't care. They don't care what you do about this realm and what you believe in. They know, as they know, is in the name of Jesus. They got to bow, if you say so, in the realm of the spirit. They got to stop. They can't just overrun you and do what they want. Well, I never really had any problems with demons other than when I was playing around with them. Because really, they never manifested their true nature. But when I got born again, see, I was in a look for power. That's what I was looking for. I thought, man, because I walked around people, Christianity, why don't you become a Christian? What for? Because most Christians I ever knew lived powerless lives. The devil ran over them. They were messed up all the time, always had problems. They had the same problems the world's put up with, and they lived with them and did the same junk. Always the same junk. I thought, well, why? Why would you want to follow a God? It don't help. And so I'm looking for something that will help. Well, thank God, God never condemned me one time of the things that I ever did in a search. Because you know why? I was in a search. Most Christians didn't search for God as much as I did as a sinner. I was in a constantly look to find out about the realm of the spirit, what really controls, what really runs. I was always in a search. And then one day, God, through another guy, turned around and gave me a book of Kenneth Hagin's as a sinner, and I read that thing, and I finally thought, my God, this guy knows how the spirit realm operates. He understood. I can say this, in all my years and all the Christians I'd been around, it was the first person I ever ran into that actually understood how the spirit realm worked. And that's one of the things. I found out sinners knew more about the spirit realm than the Christians did. Because the Christians get over and you operate in the spirit realm, and they start criticizing you and knocking you. They'll start making fun of you if you get over in the spirit area. You don't do that. Well, what do you want? Are you a mystic or something? Just total nonsense. God does something, and they don't know if it's God or the devil or who it was. They don't know. But anyhow, so I got into that, and when I got born again, man, I had this life change. But I had a problem, because instantly these demons begin to manifest in a very ugly way. Because why? See, I changed camps. See, this is the whole thing. Why? Now, their whole thing is to keep me from going over to operating in my authority. This is the whole thing they do. So they start manifesting, giving a hard time. See, a lot of Christians do this. They go along and they're going along to do what's right and walk in it, and all of a sudden they start getting a hard time. And why is God allowing this to happen to me? It ain't God, it's the devil. He don't want you doing what you're supposed to do. That's what it is. He don't want you to head in that direction. So what is he going to start giving you opposition? See, so I got born again. Well, the first thing the devil did was made my wife and kids sick. And Elena was just a little baby at the time. She was just born. I got born again in January and March she was born. And they're all sick. And my mother-in-law came down the house one day and walked in the house. Because, I don't understand, I'm a baby Christian. I just got born again. I don't know much. I'm just starting to learn some things. And so my mother-in-law comes down the house, walks in the house, got sick, nauseated, and threw up. And she made this statement. And understand, she wasn't saved at the time. She didn't know. If she said this, and I believe it was by the Spirit of God, because I know she didn't have a clue. But she said, well, the devil's got a hold on this place. It's a major statement she made. And I thought, that's right. I wonder what I do about that. I didn't know. Look, I'm a baby Christian. I didn't know. What am I going to do? Because, you know, I hadn't really been taught that much about it. I'd been taught, you know, or anything. What do I do? The devil's dominating. Well, I went to work that day. I worked second shift, and I went to work that day and at H.B. Reese Candy Company, and I got there and all day on the job, most of the time that I was there, and I was working on with an oven, and I'm working in a Kit Kat kitchen on an oven, and you know, the whole time I'm talking to God about, well, God, this thing going on at home, you know, what's happening here? What's going on? Well, it came up close to my lunchtime, and I've been talking to God about it, hadn't heard nothing, and finally the Spirit of the Lord spoke up on the inside of me and said, I want you to go home and throw those devils out of your house. I said, that's great. How you do that? What do I do? You go up, throw them home. I didn't, well, you know, what do I go home? Wrestle them down? You know, I can't see them. You know, what's going on? I didn't know. And so he told me, he said, lunchtime, he says, you go down. He said, you go down to the locker room. He said, get your Bible. I'm going to show you some things. And so I went down there. There I was. Holy Ghost, the teacher, met me down there, and I read some things. And he told me, you go home in the name of Jesus and you tell that devil to get out of here. You tell those demons, there was more than one. There was numbers of them. There's a lot of them like living there. Because I invited them in. You know, I invited them in. They don't leave just because you get saved. See, people don't get, well, I'm saved. Why is this happening to me? Well, it's because you don't know nothing. You know, I had to find out I didn't know nothing. I didn't know anything. I had to learn. And so I got all pumped up, man. I was down there reading them scriptures, and I'm going to tell you what, there was like anointing on Ed down there. He'd go through those scriptures, and he's like, wow, let's let the tiger loose when he gets home. Boy, I'm going home. I'm driving home, and I'm going to throw the devil out of my house. And I'm driving home, and I drove home, and I parked right in front of the house. Got out of the house, walked up the front door and opened the front door of the house, and I didn't see no demon when I opened the door. But I'm going to tell you, there was a presence there that was so strong. I'm going to tell you, my flesh, I wanted to run away. It was powerful. Felt like every hair in my body stood up. And it was evil. It was like, I'm going to kill you like that. It never said that, but that's exactly what I got from it. You're going to die, you mess around. And I was like, woo! First thoughts that came in my mind, good luck, honey, I'll be seeing you. Let's get in the car and go somewhere else, think it's over. Because, you know, when I stepped out there and that happened, it was like there was no anointing. But I just stopped dead, and, you know, just inside of me. I've been always like this, you know, in my life. As somebody pushes me around, you know, I'll come to the point that you made the biggest mistake in the world of pushing me. Because if you didn't really want to fight, you're in trouble because you're going to have one. I don't care if you, I get the point, I used to get to the point when I was a sinner, I didn't care if you could lick me. There's one thing about it, you're going to have to fight if you've been saying it. I was going to be all over you, and you better knock me down and kill me, because if I do get up and get anything in my hand, you was going to be wearing it. And in the inside, that just came up in me, and it was just a boldness rose up inside of me, and I got mad. And I was glad, that's the anointing of God, rising up on the inside. And I just got mad and said, devil, you ain't going to be doing this no more. You're leaving my house. And I went inside and I went from room to room, downstairs and upstairs, throwing the devil out of the house, and everything changed. Everything quit. So it isn't a matter of coming to some great epitome of, you know, you come to this great place of great spirituality. You know what? God didn't tell me, Ed, you know, you're just a young Christian. You don't have the authority. Maybe you ought to call, you know, Jimmy Swaggart, maybe, and ask him to come over and anoint your house. Or ask him to come out and do, or maybe, hey, call Ken Copeland. Maybe he'll fly in and he'll come over and he'll do it, you know. He didn't tell me how to get somebody else. I was a baby Christian, and I learned as a baby Christian. The next time, specifically running into a demonic power, this was like about a year later. I told this before, you know, because Wanda started really acting strange. There's nothing like with her personality. She'd be all right at times, but she'd just get agitated and upset. I mean, I could see it was just me and the kids and everything, and it just wasn't like Wanda. It wasn't like Wanda to do. You know, I learned about Wanda gets mad lots of times. She gets quiet, but she wasn't quiet. And that's not like Wanda, you know. You know from living with a person long enough, you know. I thought, this isn't like Wanda is, you know. You know, and she was just everything irritated. Like you could walk and say, hey, honey, I loved you. And she'd say, well, what about, you know, something. I'd be like, oh, my God, what a, you know. And so now this was on and off for a few weeks. And this is going on. And so I came home from work one day. Now I was over on first shift. And so I was working on first shift. And I come home. I got home. And I went in the house, just everything nice and fine, and I just said, hey, honey, I'm home, you know, blah, 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 and all of a sudden she'd chewing on me. So I got quiet, because I thought, we ain't been getting nowhere with this thing. So I'll never forget, I go walking, you know, over to the stairway to go upstairs, and I walk over and I start going up the steps, and I just, God, what is going on? And see, and you got to understand God dealing with me. See, God had me deal. But see, what I'm doing, say I'm a Christian, you know, I just got a moody wife. See, we don't deal with the fact we're dealing with demonic powers hindering people and doing stuff. We're always, that's what the Bible says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. See, I'm trying to deal with Wanda on a flesh and blood level. Now, it isn't that Wanda was trying to do what she was doing. She had a demonic power was messing with her. Well, she got saved after I did, and she knew, you know, a lot less than I knew about things and dealing with stuff. And another thing, I was the authority in the house. And, you know, it's one thing is I just want to say to you, as men, you know, men, you got to understand there's a, in the Bible, there's a system of authority, and in the home, the guy's the top of it. White women, you ain't the top of it. You try to usurp authority, you're going to mess the whole thing up. Then you turn around, let things go, and you're going to have trouble. God dealt with me. I was walking up the steps, and I said to the Lord, I don't understand what's going on. I'm complaining walking up the steps because my wife, you know, is doing this. Well, God ain't complaining about her at all. He complained to me. He turned around and he said to me, he said, the devil's been hindering your wife, and you ain't doing a thing about it. And I'm like, oh. In other words, this is your problem, buddy. What are you going to do with it? You're going to let the devil mess with your family? See, you know, the devil will always come back. The devil has always done this with me. He lots of times won't mess with me. He would mess with my family. He'd mess with my kids. He'd bring things from them. See, if you don't understand your authority, and I'll tell you what, this is where a man has a lot of authority in the house. As I learned this, as I learned how to walk in places, if I wanted to get stuff done, if Wanda couldn't walk there, God expected me to walk there. I had to. I was in authority. A lot of things go on at home. Should never go home in homes because people are all messed up in authority. Why? We play too many games. We have too much of an American democracy in us. We need to throw that junk out and begin to walk in the place. Well, the Lord told me, he said, the devil's in your life and you've been letting it go. In other words, this is your problem, buddy. So I'll never forget. I'm walking up the steps. I hit the top of the steps and I just stopped quietly. Wanda never heard me. I said, you foul devil that's messing with my wife, you get out of my house right now in the name of Jesus. And that's all I said. I didn't yell it. I didn't scream. She never heard me say it. I walked in, changed my clothes and stuff, come downstairs, and I've talked to a different woman. I come down. Wanda was just Wanda again, which was really nice. You know, it was nice to get her back. But she didn't, you know, she was just young in the Lord. She didn't understand the things that were going on. She didn't understand what was happening. She hadn't been taught some of the things I was taught. She didn't know. But understand, I had a responsibility to do something about it. I had that response. I had the name, you know what it is? I had the name of Jesus. I didn't have to go through some rigmarole, get people together and pray all night and fast to get the name of Jesus, to get a devil to listen to you. I didn't have to do none of that. I've seen things change with that. I've had God, we had a neighbor lady. So there was a real nice couple lived over from us. Really, real nice couple. But she turned around and had a baby. And when she had a baby, really, a fear came on to her. It was demonic. And she was afraid to let anybody else touch or handle her baby. I mean, she, you know, anybody, I mean, even her family, she didn't want anybody, and they had this thing. And I knew it was a spirit of fear. I knew it was fear going on. Now, he was a young Christian, and so the husband was a young Christian. He hadn't been a Christian long. And I knew they were going through that. And I had prayed for them about this thing because of dealing with it. You know, you just can't go run off and tell everybody else devils to get away. You can't just make everybody's. But I'll tell you, in my house and my family, I can sure do something. I'll tell you what, the devil knows Paul, Ed, and Jesus. He does. He does. I'll guarantee it. But you know, I just laying in bed one night, just minding my own business, just praying and talking to the Lord, going to bed. And finally, I started to doze off to sleep. And just as I started to doze off, all of a sudden, inside of me, and if the voice was loud enough, it just awakened me as if I was being wide awake. And he never said the woman's name or anything. All his voice said was, and I knew it was the Lord speaking to me, he said, you command that spirit that's been hindering her to leave in the name of Jesus. I knew exactly who he was talking about. He never said her name. That always amazed me. God would speak to me at times and say things, and I always instantly know who and what he was talking about, and yet he never said who he was talking about. But it's just, all of a sudden, you just know. You know, how do you do that? I ain't got a clue how he does that, but it works. And I knew. laying quietly there on the bed. Wanda's laying beside me in the bed, never hears a thing said. I'm laying in the bed, and I just said, "You foul spirit, the name of Jesus that's hindering so-and-so, I command you to cease and desist in your actions against her in the name of Jesus right now." I'll tell you what, that woman, the next time I saw her, was a different woman. She was her old self again. She wasn't afraid. She started letting people handle her baby, and it all started changing. See, people got over and, "Well, she's crazy. She's like..." No, she's dealing with a demonic power. See, people are dealing with demonic powers. You know, we live in a... I'll tell you, in America right now, people are being hindered by demon spirits at an astronomical rate. That's why you have so many people committing suicide, so many people going out killing all kinds of people, doing things. This stuff is demonic. We don't need another psychiatrist. Most psychiatrists need delivered. Most of them operate in demon things themselves. Now, I ain't saying there's anything against psychiatrists, but they sure can't help. You get over in the demon areas, they can't help. And people are being tormented by demon spirits. And see, from the time I was born again, you know, God would have me deal with things with people's spirits. Sometimes people come along in healing. He would show me they're dealing with a demonic problem. If you dealt with a demonic problem, you'd find out. People would flow over here, get healed, delivered, you know, and that stuff, if you dealt with them. Most people would be over there in the area, "Well, we're just praying for healing and praying for healing and praying for healing, and nothing ever changes." You know, and lots of times people don't realize there's demon things involved here. You might have to deal with them. Because, like Jesus said, the thief comes for only one purpose, to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's the ministry of Satan. That's Satan's ministry. Anything that's killing, stealing, and destroying is the ministry of Satan. You can identify it. Sickness and disease ain't ever been from God, never was ever one time. Heaven has no sickness to send to you. If sickness comes from heaven, Jesus Christ is a bald-faced liar. Then the thief don't come to steal, kill, and destroy. God does. We don't have one instance where Jesus came along and he told anybody that, "So sorry, we can't heal you today. God wants you sick." Never happened. No, he manifested the ministry of the Father. When people came, he always healed. We don't have him turn down one person. "Say, I'm sorry, it's not yours. No, you can't have it." But I'll tell you what, the church sure preaches it today, what you can have, God will do or won't do. They preach this stuff, they destroy people's faith. It's a destroyer of faith. And so God will never destroy your faith. God will always move. If you're doing something wrong and messing up, God will speak to you to show you to turn you around. Why? Because his desire is to bless. He never steals, kills, and destroys. That's Satan's dominion. That's Satan's place. And so we need to understand that. So we're dealing with, just like the areas of dealing with demons. I saw many things. God had me deal with the areas. God showed me, sometimes I had dreams about demonic powers. And in those dreams, God showed me how they worked. I saw what they did to people in those dreams. Kenneth Hagin had visions. You read his book, whether you read Triumphant Church or I Believe in Visions or different ones of his books. God in a vision showed him how demons get a hold of people and what they do. God, when I was first born again, would have dreams and that stuff in those dreams. I would see demonic powers and they would be hindering an actual person. And God would have me deal with that demon in that dream. Would have me deal with them and things. And he started to show me. In one instance, I had a dream of an individual that every time the devil would come against them, I was allowed to go. I would go up to the person and command that spirit to leave him, and the spirit would leave. And at first, God, I was allowed to use that authority. But the person would never respond. The person would never deal with it. And in a dream, God was showing me what was going on because this was actually happening in life. I was using my authority to help a friend out. But he would never respond to it himself. He would just always, you know, yield to it. And I would take authority over demonic powers, and things would get right for him for a while. And then it would start back the other way again. But God was speaking to him about some things and he would respond to it. So in the dream, what God showed me was that you ain't going to be able to keep this up for him. He won't respond to it. I mean, at first I could go up and stand and say, "That spirit, you leave him in the name of Jesus." And so that devil would just turn around instantly and leave. But after a while, he wouldn't anymore. I couldn't just keep using my authority because they would respond. This happens to many times with people when it comes to healing and everything. People never develop their faith. They get healed on somebody else's faith. And people sometimes can help somebody for a time. But after a while, you won't. You find this out with children. You cannot keep getting your children healed. You can't do it. They'll come to the point where God expects them to walk in light of the truth. You pray day and night and do all ever what you want to do and play all the stuff. But it won't work. Because it's going to require them to walk in the light that they have. My daughter Elena came to the thing that she was 11 years old. I think she was 11. She didn't. They came home from school and she had fallen in gym and her elbow, and they thought it might be broken, and they had it in a sling and stuff, and she was supposed to go to the hospital and get her x-rays and stuff. Well, we knew about healing. And when the thing came home, what happened? I was going to pray for her. Now, she's 11 years old. But I'm going, they grew up, later grew up from the time in the house that I was saved. She knew about casting out devils and healing. She saw a lot of things as a kid. She saw a lot of manifestations of the Holy Ghost. She saw things go on. Well, God spoke to me and said, don't you pray for her. She knows how to believe me and pray. He said, you can agree with her, but she needs to pray and ask me and I'll heal them. So I went and took a laid her in her bedroom and we sat down and we talked. And I explained to her, I said, Lord told me I can't just pray for you. And I asked her, I said, first of all, what do you want? I said, this is about your faith. I said, you have a choice. Would you like to be healed by God? Do you want divine healing, or do you want to go to the hospital and you want to have all the x-rays and go through the things? And if it is broken, we'll put a cast on it and that kind of stuff. Do you want to do that? I ask her. So you need to know, understand it. Many people come and say, I want to get healed, but they don't, you know, they don't pay, they're going to, now hold it. Where are you at? Can you believe God for that? Well, I said to her, what do you want? You're going to decide by your faith what you can do. So she said, I want healed. I said, good. I said, what scriptures are you going to stand on? See, I don't care how much you want, you want healed. Do you have any faith for it? If you don't know any scriptures, you ain't got no faith for it. You got to do what the Bible says. What's the Bible promise? See, many people come, they want something from God, but they have no faith for it. She did. She told me what scripture she's going to stand on. I said, good. I said, you pray and I'm going to agree with you. Well, we prayed. That took about 30 seconds. You know, you don't have to go some long prayer. You know, either you believe it or so. You know, I never pray in a long time for a lot of that kind of stuff. I don't ever pray no long time for it. Yeah, if you prayed over a minute, you went way too long. That's usually what you're trying to do, is trying to muster up faith. You're trying to say things to inspire you and hoping something will happen. You know, it's good to get that before you go. And anyhow, so she confessed it, she did it, and I said, now honey, this is what we're going to do. What you need to be doing. I said, see, I don't know a lot of praying, but I said, let now, we need to take some time and worship and thank God for what He's done. These people never do. They want to wait. They want to go tell everybody their testimony and shout and praise God after they see it happen. No, that ain't how it works. You praise God. So we sat there for about 15 minutes on her bed, praising and worshiping God. God, I'm so glad you healed Elena. Just thank you so much for it. We just appreciate you're so good. You're so wonderful. See, some of you are learning right now why things don't work for you. Because we just go through the praying and sit around and walk around, and when it shows up, we go, oh, wow, did you see what happened to me? See, I've never got excited about that because I already knew it happened. I knew it happened when I prayed. I knew it when it showed up. My God, it was supposed to show up. Well, she went and did it. We sat there and we praised God. And then I just got up and looked at her face. Now, it didn't look like a thing's changed. And I looked at her and I said, well, praise God, you got it now. And I walked out of the room. And I just went out and went back to my business. See, most people know they'll sit there and, you know, they'll coddle and, oh, are you okay? Are you comfortable? Are you in their nice little unbelief? Mamas, you cause a lot of problems in the faith area. I'm just telling you, you cause a lot of problems in the faith area because you always want to mother everything. You need to know the mothering of faith. You need to learn that one. Not all mamas, but I'll tell you, generally they do. I know what Wanda used to get me. Why could you just pray and walk off like that? Act like... But I learned, you don't get mad, you just say, praise God, I'm going to stand in my faith. No matter what she's going to do, she can get angry about it. But she learned over time, she learned how it operates, and she learned to let, when Ed's over in an area of faith, let it alone. Because it's going to happen. You don't want to be the person standing in the way of faith, do you? That's not a wise place to be. So, but anyhow, I walked out, sat down, went in the living room, sat down, and was in there. I don't know, it was even 15, 20 minutes. Lena comes walking out. Said, Dad, my arm's completely healed. She took her arm down. Now, her arm had black and blue in here where she fell and that stuff, and it was swollen and stuff. She came out. All she had was about a quarter-sized little bruise mark was on her arm. That was all was left. But her arm was good. No pain. She could move her arm and do it around and move it around in there, you know, and do it. See, there wasn't any kind of, you didn't have to go through any kind of big thing. See, the name of Jesus will work. You pray and you believe in that name. See, we were given that name. And we were given that name. And so just faith in that name, it didn't take a whole bunch of big deal to do it. What it takes is the fact, do you believe that name will do that? Do you believe the name? Do you believe the demon will bow to that name? Or are we going to stand up all night and yell at the devil? I remember my neighbor doing that back in the 90s. These ignoramuses having these church services and standing over people and screaming at the devil to get the devil out of people and yelling and yelling and yelling for hours on end for the devil to leave. Look, he ain't going to leave after an hour yelling, man, forget it. It ain't going to be happening. He just figured out he ain't going nowhere. You got to figure where you're going to. We don't see Jesus or the people. You don't have the things of Jesus' ministry. People say, we got to do what Jesus did. Did Jesus scream and yell all night to get demons to go? No. And we don't either. The devil must respond to his name. He don't respond to Ed Gibson, but he will respond to Ed Gibson's faith in the name. Because I tell you, he has to go. He don't have a choice. I've sat and read many books and looked at and listened to many people's testimonies who were, sometimes people get over in the gift of discerning of spirits operates. The gift of discerning of spirits is not the gift of discernment. It's the gift of discerning of spirits. It's the ability to see into the realm of the spirit. You actually see it. I've had that operate in me, or I've seen into the spirit already in things. But I've been looking at people who specifically dealing with demons who operate over in that gift, who numbers of times that gift operates, and they really have a ministry over the area, specifically dealing with demonic powers, and they minister to people a lot in that area. Some people minister more into that area than others do, specifically. And so I'd read their instance of what they saw in the Spirit. And one of the things you've seen constantly about people who were understood it, when they would speak to a demon and they would tell it to quit or stop, consistently the demons would begin to shake and tremble. And most of the time they'd say, well, I don't want to, but I know I have to. I don't want to. And every time the person would speak the name of Jesus, they would just cringe more. And they would just, you see, now people out here, I'm going to make him go. Well, I tell you what, if it ain't got Jesus, he ain't going nowhere. He responds to faith in the name of Jesus. I belong to God. I belong to Jesus Christ. You know, I'm an heir of His, but it's the authority of His name is what allows things to work, and you need to know that too. And see, we're running into a lot of things and a lot of stuff that's going on, and that's why our nation has got in the mess that's in. The church has relied on the vote. Let's get out the vote. They haven't ever taken authority over the demon powers. I don't care who you get into office. If those demon powers that have been haunting America, if this spirit of Antichrist is not brought under submission by the church, I don't care who you put into office, they're going to turn around and start responding to that power. What have we got? You know, we have Democrats in the Senate, we have the Republicans in the House, and both of them are doing insane stuff. Why? Because they're responding to the spirits that are dominating them. And the church thinks the vote's going to change it. Did the vote change it? No, it don't. You got to deal with the spiritual powers. See, the devil wants to stop this nation. He wants to stop the gospel. Well, people are worried about, well, about wages and all, about jobs. That is not what we should be worrying about. You get the devil halted, the rest of the stuff works. The economy will improve. Things will go on. Why? The thief comes just to steal, to kill, and destroy. What's he doing? He's trying to steal. Health problems? Look at our nation. We're destroying our nation with health problems. Why? Because most people are yielded to the devil. So he's destroying health. Financially, he's stealing, killing, he's stealing your money. God ain't stealing nobody's money. The devil's stealing money. That's why Jesus Christ told Kenneth Hagin, you tell the devil to get his hands off of your money. He didn't say, I was going to tell him to do anything. He said, you tell him. He said, all the money you need is right down here in this earth. And you tell the devil to get his hands off of your money. See, this is why people don't get stuff. Because they turn around waiting for God. Oh, God, do this. Oh, God, send me an envelope full of money from heaven. And it ain't coming. You tell the devil, get your hands off of my money in the name of Jesus. And he told him, then tell your ministering to spirits to go and bring that money in. Go bring it in. See, look, there's plenty of angels down on the South Mountain. About time we put them to work. They've been down there waiting all this time. Down there go, oh, man, I hope somebody does something soon. I'm tired of hanging out down here waiting for these people. I'm sure, you know what, angels, we need to understand this. I know some things about angels. And I've listened to some things and I've experienced some things. Angels many times look at Christians like, you're a bunch of idiots. What are you guys doing? You understand this? They're totally submitted to God. An angel is totally submitted to the word and will of God. They can't figure out why on earth we do the dumb stuff we do when we know God. But understand this. They will still obey that name to a T. And if you stand up with what the word of God says and tell them to go do it, they'll do it. Well, their obedience, it isn't specifically to you. It's to the name of Jesus Christ. And you belong to Jesus and they'll do it. They might think you're an idiot, but they'll still do it for you. They might think you're crazy, but they'll do it for you. And you need to understand that. It's the authority that we have in that name. And we need to, as the church world, start taking a hold of these things. It's looking around us, the things that hinder us, the things that hurt us. You know, it's like anything. When I deal over in the areas, I was into drugs and stuff, and I was into alcohol and stuff and things like that. I always fought and battled that kind of stuff of addiction. Now I got born again, that spirit left me. Well, see, here's the thing you gotta watch. See, this is what people do sometimes, is we need to understand. People get trapped back over because maybe I get over and start doing something I shouldn't do it, but after a while I'll get trapped in those same areas again. But we need to understand what holds us there. There's not just, it's not, see, the world will tell you, well, you got addiction, you know, it's just a mental thing, or it's just a, they'll tell you, you know, it's your body, you know, because of the drug or alcohol, whatever it is, your system, nicotine, this and that. I'll tell you what, most people are dealing with demonic powers. Demonic powers enforce those. I've seen it time and time again. That demonic power gets broken over the person. And that's what happens as many times as people got saved and got free and then ended up trapped again in something. They got free for a time period, but they turned around, got over, and that spirit got another hold on them. They have to learn to take authority over that spirit. Though what they do is they just keep condemning themselves, and the devil will convince you, you're an idiot, something's wrong with you, and the only reason you have problems in areas of addiction and stuff or anything like that is because you're an idiot, you're a problem. And that's what he convinces people of. And what it does, the whole time he's oppressing, the whole time he's enforcing, and he's doing things that brings bondage, and he tries to make you feel like you're the idiot. And if you don't recognize it, and you need to recognize it and stop it and say, hey, hold it, in the name of Jesus, I'm not going to put up with this thing. I'm not going to put up with you, devil. You know, you go out here and you go to psychiatry and they'll tell you, well, you just keep confessing, you know, that, I'm a drunk, you know, go down here to the nice little 12-step program and stand up every day and confess I'm an alcoholic and wonder why they can't quit drinking. And they're always fighting to drinking. Well, you keep saying you're an alcoholic. I was an alcoholic, and Ed Gibson ain't no alcoholic today. He ain't no alcoholic. He ain't no drug addict. He's a born-again child of God. But if you keep confessing what you believe you are, don't be surprised you turn into what you said. And they'll try to keep you in that bondage. Oh, yes, a good thing. Then you get a whole group of people and all of you together start confessing it. This really helps. You know, we get it all. Hey, if two or three can get agreement with Jesus Christ. You understand? In the Tower of Babel, God told them concerning the Tower of Babel, all of them got together. He said there's nothing that they won't be able to do. And see, people get together talking the wrong stuff and agree on it. They don't realize the power they put into it, and they wonder why the bondage dominates them. You know, that's why I stick to the Word. Amen? Stick to the Word. Stay in what the Word says. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. No one along here, but praise God, there's things that God wanted me to just share this morning. There's things about when you tell people how things work, how you've experienced them, help people to deal with them. And God today, He wants you free. He wants you free. He doesn't want you in any kind of bondage. No fear of nothing. Not fear of anything.